me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flood!
King of Crap!
The Colossus of Cloud! The Colossus of Cloud!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. If you have an item that you think is valuable, been sitting in your attic for 50 years, and you're thinking, hey, there might be some value to this one, give us a call, 312-332-3776. We'll try to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a Huggins and Scott auction, or if it's even valuable enough to put in an auction. And we're going to mix in some items today that ended the Huggins and Scott fall auction. Ended November 9th, so we're going to talk about some of the items that ended and let you know how much they went for, and if you have something similar, then maybe you've got something that might be good to put in. For instance, now I tweeted a picture a couple of times of this one, a 1968 Topps Baseball Discs Test Complete Set. An uncut sheet, it had guys like Mantle, Mays, Clementi, Aaron, Pete Rose on it. $15,250 wow. That thing went for. Wow. That's not a bad Sweet. Price. Bill Huggins, have you ever seen one of those sell before? I've never seen one. Have you had them or seen them sell before?
As far as our research could tell, Josh said another one did surface about 12 or 15 years ago.
Wow.
I don't remember if he could find out what it sold for. It was kind of a just online or something, and when the early stages of the internet and stuff like that, and there, you know, but no, this is the first one that's ever gone through public auction for sure.
Yeah, that was great. That had a lot of bids on it. You had another one that we had talked about on the show, the Walter Johnson 1908-09 Rose Company postcards graded SGC 2.5. I guess there's one of only three graded by SGC. That had 80 bids on
wow.
it. 80
Amazing.
Bids. And it went for $14,250. 80 bids. It seems like you guys are starting to get that more often, where you have a couple items that really get a ton of bids on them. That's a good thing, though.
Oh, yeah. No, that's that means there's a lot of people in it, because when you get up to that high, a lot of times it's not just two people. It's more than two people who are in it near the end.
Yeah, wrangling to win. So how late did it go? Were you there for a while, or did it end earlier? How late did it go?
Well, Josh was saying that, and they left at 3 o'clock. There was two items still open at 3 a.m.
Wow. Really? Yeah, that's something else. Okay, well, another item that went here, I really like this. I tweeted a picture of this. I talked about it on the show before. But the date of April 1st, 1911, on the Harry Houdini signed photo. I thought that looked yeah. so cool. And having an April Fool's Day
yes,
date that he
absolutely.
Signed it, you know, when he's such a trickster. That went for $2,400. So that was good.
Very nice.
Yes. Now, I had people that stopped by T-Crown this week that had some pretty neat stuff. Tim dropped off the 1962 White Sox jersey, game worn jersey that we talked about on the show before. He brought that in. We sent it into Huggins and Scott, so that'll be in the February auction. That was the one it looked like was originally made for J.C. Martin, and then they, because his name was sewn into the collar, but they changed the number. We think they gave it to a pitcher for one game at the end of the year. He was number 12, I think, and they changed it to number 47. But that was really
cool. And you know, Tom?
Yeah.
Tom, when we got that jersey, my guy, Mark Raines, who writes up most of that stuff for us, we held this thing up to the light, and you could see an outline of a 12.
Oh, could you really? Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect then. That kind of goes with that story then of that. That's what I thought had to have happened with that. It had all the markings, everything, that it was a legitimate game-worn jersey, but with the number change. And then the fact that he did come in at the end of the year and only pitched the one game, that made all the sense of the world. And then we had a couple in yesterday. This was pretty interesting. Now, Paul and Cynthia, apparently, I think it was Cynthia's father delivered food, like chickens or something, to the Chicago Stadium and knew a lot of the Blackhawks players, delivered food to some of the players in particular. And they had... It looks to me like legitimate game-used hockey sticks. One of them was Stan Mikita, and one of them was Kenny Warham. Now, I think Mikita and Warham might have been together on a scooter line, they called it, for a while. I like the way they used to have the nicknames for the line. I think so,
oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the Warham stick was signed by maybe 9 or 10 Hawks, including Hull and Mikita. But then what was really interesting that they had, and this looked legit, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. I tweeted a picture of a couple of shots of the stick, but also this puck. They had the 500th and 501st Mikita goal pucks. Wow. And the 500 one, you got to see the picture of it. It had, I don't know what they even put it on, like it's something that stuck up off the puck. The 500 on there, and apparently Stan Mikita wasn't big on saving his memorabilia. So this, and on the back there was a piece of tape that had the date and Maniago. I couldn't read what it said at first, but it turned out Cesar Maniago was the goalie.
Oh, okay.
So, and the date checked out. Right. He was the goalie for the 500th goal. I'm pretty sure that is the 500th goal puck.
That looks and sounds legit.
It really does. Yeah. And now, Bill, what I told them is think of anything that has happened, how they got this stuff, any stories over the next week or so, and then write it all down on how they got the sticks and the pucks. And then maybe we send that all in and, you know, we were talking about what to start the bidding at, which would make it worthwhile for them. But don't you think if without, there's not really stick authenticators like there are baseball bat authenticators. Do you have a guy then that could look them over, Bill? Or we just have to kind of go with the story and looking at the stuff in of his that has run and it looks identical?
Well, you're right. There really aren't any recognized hockey stick authenticators like there are baseball bats with John Tavi and all that. So it's more of, you know, the duck theory. You know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. I mean, it had the Gunzos on it. It was Northland stick. It had Mikita stamped on it. Just like the ones that you've seen that the places in Canada sell as the game-used sticks. And with the story going behind it. Yep. Now that 500 puck, I don't know how you could have any proof besides the story, but if you put it out there, it just looked so cool. I mean, it really did. And having that, you could tell it was old. It was a piece of tape written on it, and you could tell it was old from the time. I think it was 1977 that he got the 500th goal. So I don't know. It was really cool that they brought it in, their listeners to the show.
I wonder if Stan would recognize that puck at this. I know he's...
Now he wouldn't anymore. I don't think he's doing very well, but I'm sure there would have been a time, yeah, that you could have contacted him. I don't know if there's anybody at the Blackhawks.
Or maybe that goalie is still alive. He's like, oh, that's the puck that got past me. Yeah. That's the one I remember.
The goalie is still alive. I looked him up. Cesar Maniago. He played for like 18 years or something. Yeah. Cool. He played a long time. So it was interesting. It's always cool when people bring stuff like that into Triple Crown in Naperville. Now, we only have one show after this week's show. Then we're for 2017. Next week's our last show, so get your questions in now. Either tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and you get in the drawing if we use it on the show. Or call us at 312-332-3776 if you have something you've been thinking of asking about. Now's the time to do it, this week or next week. And we're giving away a 27th. They didn't claim the prize last week. So it's a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box, which has some potentially big money stuff in it. And then a 2017-18 Hoops basketball box, which Hoops basketball box has two autographs, and it's a really good rookie class this year. So Markkanen, you know, I was talking yesterday. If I like Markkanen so much and his future so much, I think in a few years people are going to look back at that trade, if everybody stays healthy, and think, wow, the Bulls really got a deal there. To be honest with you, right now, and people probably think I'm crazy, but right now, if I ran the Bulls and Tibbs called me up and said, you know, I think I want to trade you straight up Jimmy Butler for Markkanen, I don't think I would do it. Based on where they are in their careers, what Butler makes for what he does on the court, you know, all that into it and the potential that Markkanen has, I honestly don't even think I would trade him straight up. And they still have LaVine coming from that deal.
You know, and listeners, you can't see Tom's face when he's talking about the Bulls this year and their talent. But I tell you, your excitement, it's actually growing on me. I'm actually thinking about being a fan again because I've sworn off the Bulls since the MJ.
Like last night, Pippen. For instance, they had a flat game, but they have pieces there that you can build into a good team pretty easily, especially if they end up with a top three pick this year. Which, now remember, I was excited about David Nwaba. That guy brought some energy in playing defense like Butler used to play when he first came up.
He wasn't even drafted,
was he? He got hurt. No, they got him from the Lakers.
Right.
I think he was a free agent. He was with the Lakers last year, but they were winning last Saturday in the third quarter. He had a bad ankle sprain. And the team energy went down and has been down since then. He's one of those guys, not a big name, but I really like watching him play. So, you know, it's one of those things that I get into different things. Some people be looking at this and go, like, God, they're...
Well, it's kind of growing on me, the Bulls now. Well, have to watch a couple games.
Markkanen literally has the best release of a jump shot of a 7-footer that I've ever seen. And he's smart about playing, so... It's one of those things, I don't know, I enjoy watching the building of a team when LaVine gets there. If Chris Dunn, he plays D, he's got ability, but he makes some just unforced, easy turnovers. He's got to
cut
that out.
What should
they
do with the Portis situation?
You just play poor. I don't think Mirotić is going to, he might not even come back to the Bulls to me. I think you keep Portis and you move Mirotić as soon as you can move him if he doesn't want to play there. Right. Well, we've got some callers lining up, but it's already time for the first break here. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can call us. We've got a nice prize package to give away. We're giving away a box of 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions and a 2017-18 Hoops basketball box. So give us a call and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Plus, we have Sean Davis, the producer, in with us this week for Eric Ostrowski. Taking your calls if you have questions about the value of your collectibles. 312-332-3776 is the number. We are going to mix in some pricing on some of the items that ended in the Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding ended November 9th, just Thursday night. So it's all fresh and some good prices on things. That Larry Magid collection, some of his stuff did really well. He had that Jerry Garcia signed electric guitar, went for $8,500. He had the Eagles signed acoustic guitar, $4,100 that nice. Went for. He had a couple original concert posters, a 1971 Grateful Dead poster, $4,800. 1970 The Who concert poster at the Spectrum, $3,300 for that one. I talked about he had the whole Fleetwood Mac, all four signed on there, $3,300 for that one. Pearl Jam signed electric guitar, $2,800. So I imagine, Bill, he must have been pretty happy. I don't know if you've talked to him, but it seemed like he got some really good prices on his stuff.
Yeah, I have not spoken with him yet. However, I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to say whether they were great prices or not because most of that stuff has never sold before.
So that's right.
The barometer.
Yeah, so it seemed pretty good to me. If it was my stuff, I would have been happy, that's for sure. So we got Danny from Norridge on the line. Thanks for waiting. Danny, what do you have?
Hey, good morning. Actually, this is the holy grail of my collection. I've got pair of game-worn Bobby Orr hockey gloves. I received these when I was a kid. My father did some stock work for him when he came to Chicago. And they're a pair of Wilson. They're tagged Gonzales. They got the number 4 on them. Signed it, "To Danny, happy birthday, enjoy my gloves." And I've got 6 pictures of photo matching the gloves.
Wow.
To the repairs on them, because Gonzales had done the palm repairs on them also.
Okay. Wow, that's very cool. Now, there have been some Bobby Orr items sell, like a jersey sold for about $10,000. I think some of his sticks sell for in the 2,000 range. But Bill Huggins, have you ever seen his gloves sell? That would be a nice auction piece.
Oh yeah, the gloves are far tougher to get than sticks and or probably jerseys.
Yeah,
Danny, that's a great item. I have no idea what those would sell for. However, it sounds very near and dear to you, so I don't know. If
yeah,
something you're able
I've gotten
to part with.
I've gotten a few different offers and prices. There's a site called GameWorn.net where a lot of hockey collectors belong to, and I've been given prices, ranging in the 5 range to higher. And I was just curious what ballpark that you think they might be in.
I don't know that there is a ceiling on that, especially with the provenance you have behind it, the photo matching and the inscriptions on the gloves and the wear of the gloves. I mean, that's just a home run. And you know, is 10,000 or more out of the question on something like that? Absolutely not.
Does him putting my writing my name on there hurt the value of them at all or no?
It adds a little character, I think, to it and a legitimacy to it. I don't know. Believe me, the inscription by Bobby Orr and for all the other stuff is just unbelievable.
How good a condition are they, Danny? Are they look like new, or do they look like
they're they show a lot of game use.
Okay,
there's some stick marks, puck marks.
Yeah,
there's a lot of wear to them. I mean, they're not destroyed, but there's a lot of wear to them. And actually, my father held them for years because I played high school hockey and college hockey, and he didn't want me using them. So he held on to them until I was old enough not to destroy them.
Well, if you ever decide you do want to try to auction them, it'd be really fun to see what they do. And, we'd make sure we publicize it as well as we could. So
The reason I had been asking is because my daughter's getting married soon, and I think this will help pay for her big wedding.
if you could bring them into Triple Crown in Naperville, and I'd send them into Huggins for you if you do want to do it, and we could figure out with them where you start the bidding and those details before you send it.
Yeah, Danny, okay. That would buy a hell of a cake, I can
tell you. Right. Something to think about. You know, Danny, we had another customer who was in, a listener to the show, whose daughter was getting married, and he put in a couple of things where he got an offer of less than this for it was a Yankees baseball sign. You could see Lou Gehrig on the sweet spot with Wes Westrum, and he had a 70s baseball also, and we ended up auctioning them, and they did I think about 50% higher than what they were offered.
Nice.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I mean, they did they did fine with that. It was one of those things where they said, well, what do you think of the offer? And it's like, you know, that's, it's not in great shape. That's a reasonable offer. But if it was me, I'd always wonder if I auctioned that, would it have done better than that? You know what I mean? And sometimes when it's a one-of-a-kind item, you're not sure what it's going to go for. It might go less than what you want, but if it, but at least you know then it went out there and you found out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yeah, it's cool. That would be cool to see what they did. All right, we've got Tim driving along 294. What's up there, Tim?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have a piece, kind of unique. I don't really want to sell it because it was sent to me specifically, but in 1983. I was at a Cub game, eighth row behind the plate. They had a backstop, but they didn't have a net. Larry Boa bunted one, and it just cleared the backstop, came right to my hand.
Oh really?
And the Andy frame came down. Remember the Andy frames?
Oh, yeah.
They came down, and I thought they wanted to take the ball away, and they said, did you catch it on a fly? And I said, yes. And they took my address, my name and address. And about 2 weeks later, I got to sign a certificate from the Cubs organization, sealed and signed by Dallas Green. And it, you know, had placed my name, and it said, I successfully caught a fly ball on such a day.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
In no time in my lifetime will my loyalty to the Chicago Cubs be traded to any other team. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of lifelong Cubs fans that no one's ever heard of that.
Wow. That is really cool. Now that you've got to have that up in your house with the framed certificate and the ball. That's an awesome piece.
I have the ball too. I would never auction it unless my kids don't want it. But for lifetime, I'm going to keep it. And I took the thing to college. I don't know how I made it through college with the thing without it getting stolen or broken or. But
one time when I was a kid. We were at Wrigley Field, and we couldn't get we got behind home plate. Usually we'd be, over in the grandstand somewhere if we were sitting there. And somehow we got behind home plate, but no, we couldn't get any players to sign. So I forget the guy's name, but he was like the head anti-frame guy, like right behind home plate there. He used to sit there all the time. And I was like, how about you? You want to sign? He's like, what do you want my signature for? I go, at least I got somebody. I don't know what I ended up doing with it, but I did get it.
That's funny.
So, sometimes things mean a lot to you, and that to me would be a cool item to keep.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it. I have the ball, but it's never worked out where I could find a place where Larry Boa was signing. I know he does get around and sign from here from time to time, but it's never worked out. But I'd like to get him to sign.
Yeah, that would be good. That's cool. And the fact, I wonder if there's a video anywhere of you. I bet it was on WGN of you catching it.
83? I don't know.
Yeah, I bet
it was.
I don't
know if they were really doing it.
Yeah, they were doing it. The Cubs used to do games in the 50s and 60s on WGN, so... Yeah, I think so.
If I wasn't sitting in my seat, it would have come and the ball would have hit the center of the seat itself. It was like right there. The guy behind me was trying to go over to my back, like get a basketball rebound to try and grab it.
And you boxed him out just like in basketball.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Good story there, Tim.
Oh, that's priceless. That's absolutely priceless, Tim.
The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till late. If you have a story like that you want to tell and you have an item, give us a call. You get in the drawing. We're giving away a box of 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions and a 2017-18 Hoops basketball box. We're going to mix in some cool items that have sold in the Huggins and Scott auction and give you an idea what they ended at. That signed baseball that Lou Gehrig was on, that actually ended up going for $1,700. I think he had gotten an offer of $1,000 for the two balls, I think is what it worked, and decided to give it a shot. So I was happy that that did well for him. And then there was that, I tweeted a picture of this one, Babe Ruth's mitt that he was wearing in this one, just how small those gloves were for an outfielder's glove. It just was such a cool photo. It was a Babe Ruth 1921 exhibits card graded PSA 3. You got to check out this picture just to look at the size of the mitt they use. That went for $2,000. That was pretty cool. The Honus Wagner signed 1940 play ball card. It had a Beckett 10 signature on it. The signature was absolutely beautiful. The card wasn't in great shape. The signature was beautiful. That went for $4,400. Seems like the signed, the vintage cards of the big name Hall of Famers just keep doing better and better, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Now, well, you know, hopefully they're not signing anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going to see Honus Wagner signing anymore. It was so cool that that old ink and the old signatures, just the way they took so much care in their signatures.
Yep.
It was really cool. Steve from Buffalo Grove is on the line. What's up, Steve? What do you have?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got this baseball that was in my parents' basement for years and years, and it's got 26 autographs on it. And never really looked at it until like about 2 weeks ago. And it looks like it's from the 44 St. Louis Browns. And I don't know. I mean, the only autograph, I mean, I recognize the name of Don Gutteridge.
Oh, yeah.
On the ball.
He ended up being a coach.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't really recognize the names of the guys, but I looked it up and it looks like it's from 44. So
44, there would have been a lot of the bigger name players were in the serving in World War II. So there are probably a lot of no names on there. But Bill Huggins, there's a lot of St. Louis Browns collectors. What do you think of a team signed ball from 44 of the St. Louis Browns?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that that was one of their championship years. They at least won the American.
I think it was their only championship year.
Yeah, right? So, gosh, you're talking championship team ball, Steve. Those are thousands of dollars, you know, regardless of the fact
really?
That Tom said that, oh, that it would have, you know, a lot of no-name players, for lack of a better way to put it, on there. Championship team balls, if they're in nice shape and displayable, you know, $1,500 to $2,500 on their worst day sometimes is what those things will get. If they're, you say it's got... How many signatures? 20-some signatures?
20. There's 26. I know that the coach is on there, Luke Sewell.
Right.
I didn't recognize any of the names.
Now, it looks to me like the Browns made it to the World Series but lost out to the Cardinals in the series. So, I mean, they did make it to the World Series, which they didn't do often. How much of an effect does that have, Bill, that they made it but didn't win it but made it?
Well, I mean, I think, like Steve was saying, that was one of the very few times that they ever even got. That was the famous, I think, St. Louis World Series. And there are a lot of followers out there for that whole era of St. Louis baseball.
So if he decided he wanted to put that up for auction, you'd be happy to take that and run it?
Oh, I think it would get quite a bit of response. We just need to get it authenticated.
Yeah. How does it look, Steve? Is it the signature's pretty bold?
I can actually read probably every signature, and one is kind of faint, but most of them are pretty legible.
Yeah, and then the authenticators have to make sure that all the guys actually signed them in that clubhouse and all that stuff. But if it's authentic, that'd be fun to watch to see what that ended up going for in an auction, without a doubt.
Yeah, you could bring that into your store. You could get that to us for the next auction. That'd be great.
Yeah, and then now we're already coming up to another break, so we don't have time to do the which ended higher till after the break. But here's something. Now, this you actually should have gotten a gold medal last week.
Thank you.
If you looked at who you picked,
ended up being the
highest one.
Yes.
And remember last week, the Mantle Maris Stellar AM Radio was the leader, but he died. He ran out of gas at the end. Still went for $2,200. But the one went the most was the Billy Joel Elton John dual signed piano bench from the Larry Magan
collection.
Which was
my choice.
That was your choice, $3,400. The judges ruled you still have a silver medal, but it could have been a gold. At least you knew intrinsically what the best item was.
Who came in second? What came in second in that list?
The second was the radio. So
Eric's still got a bronze medal.
Eric's bronze still is there.
Bronze.
Yes. And we'll see how Sean fares this week after the break. It's time for a short break. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer this week is Sean Davis. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. 312-332-3776 is the number, and we've got a nice prize package. Vince will do the drawing at the end of the show. 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions Box and a 2017-18 Hoops basketball box to one caller, or if you tweet a picture of an item, we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. For instance, Benny Polymus sent this one. This is pretty cool. It's a, I guess he does storage units, and this was in one of his storage units that he bought. It's a photo. It looks like a bunch of different old timers on it, but it's signed by Thomas Edison.
Ooh.
And it looks like in the Huggins and Scott auction that ended on November 9th, there's a Thomas Edison single signed photo that ended at $1,300, and this signature looks just like that. So if it's not stamped, and it sure doesn't, I imagine it's not stamped, it's not a single signed photo, Bill, so it might not be as high, but I would imagine that still would be worth putting in an auction. Bill Huggins, you there with us? Oh, I guess we lost Bill here for a second. Oh, anyway.
Hello?
Yeah, Bill.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, a Thomas Edison signed photo display. It's not a single signed photo, but it's a bunch of different guys on it that Thomas Edison signed.
Well, a lot may depend on who else was on it as well.
I think he's the only one who signed it. But there's a bunch of different photos. But it looks like the same signature as that single signed photo you guys had.
Yeah, no, Edison had a very distinct signature that we would certainly be interested in that item.
Okay, so that would be worth putting up for auction without a doubt. All right, we have, let's see who's waiting the longest here. We've got Dan from Lincoln Square. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I got a 1947 signed photo by Babe Ruth, and my uncle lived outside of Boston, and when he was about 10 years old, he sent a letter to the Boston Braves, and it got returned to him, and it's 5x7 signed by Babe Ruth, and my uncle passed about 10 years ago and have no idea what something like that's worth.
Is he wearing a uniform, or is he in a suit, or what's he wearing?
He's wearing a uniform.
Oh, is it a Yankees uniform, or?
I'm not looking at it right
okay.
now. But I think it's a Braves uniform.
Okay. And it's got a bold signature. Can you tell is it faded? How's the signature?
Yeah, it looks pretty, pretty strong.
Oh, what do you think, Bill Huggins? That's a nice one. That's a good auction item for sure.
Oh yeah. Those are $5,000 to $10,000 or more, depending on how unique the photo is.
Yeah. Very good. That'd be fun to put it up to auction and see. And then it could be in the, which ended higher in some certain later episode. Okay, we've got three items. Do I just pick out random ones? I think I'm going to pick out three random ones here that went. I've got some pretty cool stuff here. Okay, first item, Bill Clinton signed saxophone. I don't know why that cracks me up, but it cracks me up every time, from the Larry Magan collection. Okay, we've got, what else do we want to add to this one? How about a Pete Rose rookie card graded PSA 6? Okay, that's the second item. And the third item will be an 1899 Army-Navy full ticket and program. 1899 Army-Navy full ticket and program.
Sean, you want to go first?
Oh, listen to Vince. He's passing like over to
Sean. Pressure on me early, huh?
It's up to you. Your choice.
Okay, the three items. Bill Clinton signed saxophone, 1899 Army-Navy full ticket and program, and a Pete Rose PSA 6 rookie card. This is for a gold silver or bronze medal in the Olympics, Sean, just so you know.
I'm going to go with the ticket and program from the Army-Navy.
Ticket and program from Army-Navy?
Well, that was not my first choice. Okay. I'm going to go with the Bill Clinton autographed saxophone.
Bill Clinton signed saxophone. Okay, Sean?
Surprise, surprise.
That means you didn't win. Okay. And Vince?
All right.
You got
there
it.
We go.
A gold medal for Vince.
Two in a row. 2 weeks
Sean
in a row.
Does get a silver medal because his was second. He does have a silver medal. Not a bad performance in his first Olympic event.
I'll gladly take it.
Yes. The Bill Clinton saxophone, 1900, Army Navy ticket and program, 1100, and the Pete Rose PSA 6, $575.
Gotcha.
So, not
bad. We'll give the bronze to Eric. So, Eric, you got a bronze medal again.
Just to keep his streak going. Because we know he would have at least gotten that.
That's right.
He would have been. Yes. He couldn't have done worse than third. That's where everybody wins in this Olympics.
That's right.
Okay. Samuel from Milwaukee's on the line. What do you have there, Samuel?
Well, I got two things for you. I got a 1970 and 1971 Nebraska National Championship rings.
Really? Now, how'd you come across those?
Well, my father played in both of those games.
Really?
Very nice.
Can you say what his name was?
David Mason.
Okay, what position?
He was a wide receiver his freshman year, and then he went to defensive back.
Wow. Cool. So you've got the two rings. Now, I'm not as familiar with collegiate championship rings, Bill Huggins. Have you run any of those? Compared to Super Bowl rings, for instance, and being that old, I mean, Nebraska's got a big following. What do you think of that?
Oh, they're highly sought after, Samuel. I mean, those are thousands and thousands of dollars, each one of those. Is how many thousands? It'd be hard to say. My guys would have to do some research and see if any of the other players from those two teams or in that era had ever sold a ring before. But, it sounds like they're family keepsakes, though. But if you ever decided to part with one of them, I'm sure our 20-some thousand bidders would be more than willing to come up with a big number that could hopefully wow you on those.
Now, here's one that's sold from a different auction house over the last year, a 1971 National Champions ring that sold for $4,800, to give you an idea there. So maybe are you thinking of selling one and keeping one or keeping them both or selling them both? What are you thinking, Samuel?
Well, for now, I'm definitely going to keep them. The 1971 is game of the century against Oklahoma, so that one's awesome. But
that's cool.
I might be willing to part with the 1970, but for now I'm just going to keep them both.
Yeah, very cool. Well, if you ever decide you want to do it, give me a call at Triple Crown in Naperville. It's always a good idea to, if you have items out there and you're thinking of bringing them in to show me, to give me a call first and set an appointment to make sure it's a good day to do it. But give me a call at Triple Crown in Naperville, and we'll set something up, bring it in. And if nothing else, we can tweet some pictures of it because it's cool. I like the story, too. That's awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, very nice. Wow, that's something else.
Love to just see what it looks like, So send a picture if you don't want to sell it right away. Send a picture.
Right. two championship rings. So they won 70 and 71. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, back to back. Huh. Next on the line, we have Lenny from Orland Park. What's new, Lenny? What do you have this week?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, way to go, Vince. 2 weeks in a row, huh?
Look at Vince. Oh, he's on a roll.
Appreciate the support, Lenny. Thanks, buddy.
I have a print that was from the 75th anniversary of the Chicago Bears. It's signed by 20 players, all the Hall of Fame. Walter Payton, Sayers, Fensick. And what's, they made 750 of this print, but I have a print that was an honorary print that was presented to the artist of this thing. Bill, I sent you a picture of it.
So they're individually numbered?
Yeah, this is 15 of 75 honorary prints, and this was presented to Tim Spransy, who was the artist that did the drawings, and it's signed by Blanda, Atkins, Sid Luckman, Walter Payton, Gail Sayers, Hampton, Buddy, Bulldog Turner.
Now, how long ago did you purchase it, Lenny?
I got it about a year ago.
Oh, okay. And do you know when it was produced? What year?
Let's see. It's on here somewhere. Well, it was a 75th anniversary picture. So that was back.
Maybe mid-90s, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, what do you think, Bill Huggins?
Bill, I think Bill had this print in an auction a few years ago, but this is like an honorary print,
okay,
which was presented to the artist, and now I have it.
So there's less of those than the main print.
Yeah, there's only 75 honorary prints of this, yeah.
Yeah, there's one. I saw a 75th anniversary limited edition commemorative print sell for $660 in a different auction. But let's see, this is 40x32, and autographed by 20 key franchise members.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's probably the one that's to $750. So
I don't know.
Bill Huggins, is that something you think you'd want to give a shot to?
Oh, sure, Lenny. We would always give it a shot for you, especially. And, you know, what I guess what this is sort of what you call artist proofs, where a lot of these guys do a small edition before the major edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Bulldog Turner's on there. So there's a couple of oldies on there, too.
Yeah, George Bland is on there.
Sid Luckman.
John Morris.
Pretty cool. Yeah, you know, neat, Lenny. That's a cool item for absolutely. A Bears fan, without a doubt. You know, speaking of for Bears fan, I didn't realize this would be this high, Bill. A 1937 NFL championship game program from Wrigley Field, Bears versus Redskins. The Skins won the game 28-21. That went for $3,600. I guess it's a championship game program, so people collect. I guess. Not just Super Bowls, but they go back in history going for any of the championship programs from the NFL, huh, Bill?
Well, actually, one of the key factors about that particular one that we just sold was the condition. This thing was, I mean, a lot of times you see programs from the 30s where they rolled them up, stuck them in their pockets and everything, and this thing happened to be just almost pristine condition. I don't know how it survived this long in that condition, but that was certainly one of the factors in that bringing that number.
Yeah, that did really well. I would imagine they were happy with that one. Mike from St. Charles is online. What do you have there, Mike?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good.
I've had a Heisman Trophy commemorative ball since high school. It's signed by Jay Berwanger.
Oh, and okay, the first Heisman Trophy really winner.
Yeah, I never really knew much about him, and I got it from a girl I was dating in high school. Her dad was working for Jay at the time, and the only problem is he personalized it. It does say to Mike, but it's got his prototypical best wishes on it. But I was just kind of curious. I mean, it's been sitting in my bedroom at my parents' house since high school, so I'm just kind of curious if it has any value at all.
It's a personalized, single-signed, full-size football.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Okay, what do you think, Bill?
Well, Jay Burr, he lived a long life and a good, healthy life. I don't even mean, and he signed a lot of stuff. It's still a few hundred dollars, you know, and it being the first Heisman Trophy winner, had he passed away, you know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, that thing could have been thousands of dollars. But he did sign a lot of stuff. He was such a great advocate of the sport and everything. So, and the fact that it's personalized sounds like a perfect thing for you to hold on to.
Yeah, it sounds like he had a good career after his college football career, too, if he, you know, had employees and things, kind of like Vince with the ERC delivery. That's quite the business you started up there, Vince. Chris from Mantino is on the line. What's new, Chris?
Hi, thanks for taking a call.
Sure.
Hey, I've got some interesting stuff here. I was at an auction sale about 30 or 40 years ago, if you don't mind telling the story.
But no, go ahead.
I'm an old newspaper collector, and I bought a whole box of newspapers for like $20. Well, anyway, I took them home, and in this box was a untouched, practically brand new 1945 World Series Cubs Detroit World Series program.
Ooh.
There's about 15 programs, daily game programs, that were these aren't folded or anything like that. They're really in good shape, other than they were used with the ticket stubs. A lot of the ticket stubs for that game on it.
For which game are the ticket stubs?
Oh, throughout the whole year, 1945.
Oh, okay. I thought you from a World Series game. Do you have any World Series ticket stubs?
No, I don't have any World some old Cubs. I still got some Cubs ones from they printed in 1984 or something like that they were going to make it but didn't make it. So I still got those tickets. But anyway.
I think that program from 45 in good shape, they sell for a couple $100s, I think. Bill Huggins, you think that if he put it all together, that would be a lot for an auction with the ticket stubs and everything?
Oh, absolutely. No, that sounds like a great lot. It would just depend on maybe some of the games, if they were scored and who played in the games, if any monumental feats occurred during those days and the ticket stubs, if they ever, some specific moment in time happened on one of those days. Those could be some really, really good items.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if you had some historic event, you know, that would be cool. Let's say you had the game that the Cubs clinched the pennant. Yep. I mean, you know, and you had the ticket and the program for that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So check that out. Check the dates on them. And now, were they scored, did you say, the programs?
Yes, yeah, they kept scoring in most of them.
I like that, too. And then you can look through that and see who had the good days and everything. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I always like stuff like that, the old scorecards.
Did you have a score, you know?
Once in a while, I think I maybe kept one or two, you know, along the way, but usually you end up leaving them there or forgetting them, or they are, like Bill said, rolled up in the back pocket and they're all beat up. But yeah, I used to do that once in a while. Yeah, did you score?
No, I just watched the games.
Did you ever buy a scorecard when you went there?
Oh, yeah, probably every time I went there.
Yeah. So. What about you, Bill? When you were a kid, did you score? Did you ever save any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah, we had to. We were taught as kids, you got to score the game, you know.
Yeah. How about Sean? Did you used to go to many games when you were a kid and save any of that stuff?
I still fill out a scorecard today.
Do you really?
Oh, absolutely. That's cool.
Do you keep them? Do you bring them home with you and keep them?
I actually started off, I haven't been to a game in over a year. I did it just, I really kept up with it so I could get my daughter doing it.
Oh, really?
And she does it. Yeah,
okay, so. That's cool. Well, that's neat. Yeah, that's part of the fun of going to games is, you know, you got the history and the family connection and all that stuff.
Got to enjoy the journey.
We're already at the end of another show now. Next week is our last show for 2017, so make sure you get your questions ready. You can tweet something to me during the week. You can bring something into Triple Crown in Naperville during the week or call during the show, and it's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Steve from Buffalo Grove. So, Steve, email me your address to vince@ercdelivery.com. Set up delivery free of charge right to your door.
Very good. And now, Bill Huggins, you can go to hugginsandscott.com and see the final prices for the auction items from November. But your next auction, Bill, that starts end of January and goes into February, correct?
Yep, and people can certainly bring lots of stuff into your store, and you can send pictures and get stuff to us that we can include in that auction.
Very good. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. Today I'll be there 10 to 3:30. Always a good idea to call first if you have a bunch of stuff. And have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.